Welcome and good morning. Let us prepare for our time of worship. Heavenly Father, be with us now as we prepare to worship you. Clear from our minds any stray thoughts and unite us as one body in Christ with open hearts and minds ready to hear your message for us today. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to all of you joining us in person. I love to see all the smiling faces online and over the airwaves. Wherever you are, we're so glad you're worshiping at Trinity with us this morning. For our listeners, please remember to visit our website, where you can find the bulletin for today's worship service, which is under the Worship tab, as well as our newsletter, which is under the Media tab. Our website address is www.trinitypresslbg.com. For our in-person congregation, please sign the attendance pads found in the pew pockets at the center end of each pew. Please pass the pad down to others sitting in the same pew. Looking ahead to October, can't believe it's already almost October, but we will be collecting stuffing, rice, cranberry sauce, coffee, toilet paper, and washcloths for church community services. That was quite a list. Let me say it again. We're going to collect stuffing, rice, cranberry sauce, coffee, toilet paper, and washcloths for church community services. As you can tell, they're trying to help people with food and basic hygiene necessities. All donations can be brought to the church and left in the narthex, and then we would be happy to get them over to church community for you. So food and hygiene necessities is what we are collecting this week. We're going to look ahead to the next week's calendar in your bulletin, but first I wanted to say, through no design or purpose, we are having a girl power service this week, all feminine voices and those even on the piano. So just enjoy all the lovely feminine voices that you will hear this week. But looking ahead to this week's calendar, on the back of your bulletin, the Trinity Singers will rehearse on Tuesday night at 5:15 here in the sanctuary. Pastor Jim's Bible study will not be meeting this week on Tuesday. Again, even though it says it on the bulletin, we will not have Bible study this Tuesday night. So come and sing instead if you wish to have something to do on Tuesday night. And then looking ahead to next Sunday, the men will gather for men's breakfast at 8 a.m. in the fellowship hall. All men are welcome. First timers eat for free, and everyone else pays just $5. I've heard it is the best breakfast in town on the first Sunday of the month, so come and enjoy. Adult Sunday school will meet in the choir room at 9:30 a.m. Then middle school Sunday school will meet in the fellowship hall at 10 a.m. Pre-worship singing will begin at 10:45 here in the sanctuary. That is always a good time, and it's a great way to get yourself ready to worship God. We had an all-female consignment this morning there as well, but you never know what you're going to hear. Generally guitars, sometimes some piano, sometimes some bass, just all kinds of things. Typically some lovely singing voices. There are times when we have motions. You don't have to do the motions. I was doing the wrong ones this morning, but it was still fun. And you can sing along. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but still enjoy singing and lending my joyful voice to everyone else. So please, if you are planning to attend service, come a little bit early and join us in pre-worship singing. And then next Sunday, we will also take communion as part of World Communion Sunday and collect the Peace and Global Witness special offering. We'll have a minute for mission a little bit later in the service, and Anna will tell us more about that. We also have prayer cards in the backs of the pew pockets if you wish to put in a joy or a concern. Feel free to do so. Fill in the card and drop it in the offering. We are on the radio, so please mark whether you would like us to say your prayer, concern, or joy in the service. Just remembering that we do broadcast over the radio. If not, and you would prefer just to let us know of your prayer, concern, or joy, put that on there as well, and we will use those during our monthly prayer meetings to make sure that we're putting the power of prayer towards your joy or concern. Today, this morning, we welcome back Ivy McLaurin on the piano, and thank you so much for sharing your beautiful musical talents for us. We've already had a taste of that with our prelude. So beautiful. Elizabeth, do you have any other announcements?
Yeah, just a couple of things. To mention that for World Communion Sunday last week, if you have any special items that are from another country that you would bring for us to use as we add things around the floor or around so we can kind of symbolically show that World Communion Sunday, that connection we have to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, I would appreciate if you could just drop it by the church office this week. That would be wonderful. And then the last thing is that today, really due to the challenges in Western North Carolina, we do not have streaming available for our service today. So if you know somebody who normally listens through the Radio Garden app or through our website, if you could send them a message and let them know that it is available just over the airwaves through the radio station, but it is also will be available on our website. We'll put the entirety of the service this time on our website later on this afternoon. So you could let them know that that will be available then, and that would be wonderful. Now let us join in this ancient tradition of standing and passing the peace of Christ to one another. In the sanctuary, we wave so that we don't pass germs. Online, I encourage you, if you would, to type and text each other saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." And if you get such a text, to reply saying, "And also with you." Let us now pass the peace of Christ and remain standing for our call to worship. Now I invite you to join with me in the call to worship. I will read the part that is in regular print. If you would join me in the part in bold, let us call our hearts to worship. We gather in this place seeking to live in faithful community and asking God to guide us.
Lord, revive our souls.
That we might lift each other up.
Lord, revive our souls.
That we might order our communities in ways that lead us toward love.
Lord, revive our souls.
Let us remain standing as we join our voices together in singing our opening hymn, hymn number 464, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Words will be found on the screen, also in your bulletin, or you may use the hymnal in your pews.
God calls to us to teach us his ways and bless us with abundant life. Yet we turn away to follow other paths and take the easy way out. Let us come to him in prayer, asking for guidance and healing. Please join in the unison prayer of confession as printed in your bulletin. Loving God, give us each wisdom to recognize our part in bringing your kingdom to life here on earth. May those in positions of power use their influence for the benefit of all. May those with the knowledge to heal give freely of their gifts. May those with imagination work to enact justice. May we all join in telling the world of your work among us. Amen. We will now have a moment of silence for personal confession.
Friends, beloved children of God, hear the good news. In Jesus Christ, all of our sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west, and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Seated as Anna Phelps comes forward for our minute for mission.
Good morning. Next Sunday, October 6th, is a special day. First, on this day, we celebrate the warmth of the Lord's welcoming embrace as all are invited to the table for World Communion Sunday. If you want to learn more, please read Elizabeth's article about it in this month's newsletter. Second, we commemorate our ability to embody Christ and create positive change through the Peace and Global Witness Special Offering. This time of special offering is all about promoting peacemaking and reconciliation in our close-knit communities and the broader beyond. By participating in giving, we enable the church to promote the peace of Christ by addressing systems of injustice, affirming that the peace of God starts with us. This year, our session decided that 25% of the offering collected will be going toward our local Growing Change organization. If you have any questions about Growing Change, Noren is a great person to reach out to about it. The rest of the offering will be going toward the Presbyterian General Assembly. This is a great opportunity for our little church community to do something big and be sowers of peace and nurturers of growth. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for blessing us with abundant opportunity to share your love with the world. Please continue to guide us on our journeys as we become a resource for growth and change. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Anna. I will say the stuff about World Communion Sunday is actually in last month's newsletter because I was trying to put it in there ahead of time so you could bring things to put here at the altar. As I mentioned earlier, I have already had some things gathered together, and we are looking forward to that very visible reflection of our time together in worship. Today's scripture comes from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Listen to the word of the Lord. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we pray that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth will be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, over 15 years ago, I was serving in a church in South Carolina. I was their director of music ministries, and and it's actually in Simpsonville, South Carolina. And we were very fortunate in that we were growing in an area that the BMW plant had just come in, the Michelin plant had just come in, and so the area itself was booming. And the church, therefore, went from being about 200 in worship when I started to about 2,000 in worship when I left. So over those 10 years, our staff changed greatly. And at some point, the pastor who I worked with there decided that we really needed to have a staff retreat. At this point, we had enough staff members that we needed to be able to all go together away for an overnight where we could do some planning for the year and really think about all the things that we needed to be able to do to be able to accomplish the ministry, and we'd all be together. So I'm sitting in this evening. Susan was notorious for having more energy than any one person should ever have. She needed only 5 hours of sleep a night. She told us that, and that's what she did. And so we were there at 9 o'clock at night, and she said, "I'm gonna put some coffee on. Do you want any?" And I said, "Well, is it decaf?" And she said, "No." Then no. We're still going at 9 o'clock at night. We've been working all day. We've been planning. We've been doing things. We've been writing all these things on those huge post-it notes. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? We've been sticking them on the walls. Well, now I am a mother, a young mother at this point. I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old who've been at home, and I'm not used to staying up this late, first of all. I am a night owl, but with little kids, I really wasn't. And so I'm looking around the room, and I see all these post-it notes on the wall. And all I can think about is a song that my children have taught me from the Philadelphia Chickens. And if you know the Philadelphia Chickens, they are, you know, a lot of kids like Barney, those songs that drive parents crazy. Well, Philadelphia Chickens are cute songs that kids love, but actually have really good music, and the parents actually like them too. So this song was called Busy, 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 and I'm just going to sing the beginning of it. It's almost like a little bit of a rap. It goes, "We're very, very busy, and we've got a lot to do, and we haven't got a minute to explain it all to you, for on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, there are people we must see, and on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're as busy as can be with our most important meetings and our most important calls, and we'll have to do so many things and post them on the walls." And that's all I could think about. Here we were, doing so many things, and literally posting them on the walls. Our culture loves to-do lists. We love to make our list. When I make my list, sometimes I'll write down very mundane things so that I'll feel better when I can write them out. Our stores are filled with a variety of planners, of things that can help us make sure that we're the most efficient, that we get the most out of our time, that we have these graphic organizers. As a matter of fact, just this week I went into the Dollar Tree and I saw 25 or 26 of the new 25-26 planners already out on display, and it's not even October. I came home and I thought, let me do an Amazon search real quick. I wonder how many organizers or planners would come up. All I looked was for planners, and it did not tell me how many were on Amazon, because all it would say was over 10,000. Over 10,000 different planners. Our culture loves to plan. We love to be able to mark things as done, to be able to cross them off our list. So it's kind of natural that when we read today's scripture, we might have thought of that through the terms of our culture, through that lens, and thought, finally, a checklist of what I need to do as a Christian. Perfect. A checklist I can check off and say I'm done. Well, really, no. Actually, I hate to tell you this. It's not perfect. It's not really a checklist. You see, the bulk of this little book of James focuses not on what we should do, but what we should be doing. The way that our lives reflect our faith that we have. Not a checklist of what to do as a Christian, but a description of what a Christian looks like. James places the spotlight on the necessity for believers to act in accordance with their faith. James wants us to examine our lives, to look at how we act and what we do, and then to ask ourselves the important question, how well do my actions mirror the faith that I proclaim? James talks about our actions during times of trial, our treatment of the less fortunate, the way that we speak and relate, or maybe type on social media, to one another, and the role that money plays in how we live our lives. As my husband said when I told him that I was preaching from this, from the lectionary, that it was my choice, his comment was, "Ouch, my toes." James' concern throughout this little book is that he's worried that people would mistreat one another, but he's especially worried that the church people would be among those that mistreat one another. James is worried that the poor will be mistreated, but he's especially worried that the church people will be the ones that do that mistreatment. For the first 95% of this letter, James has focused on those concerns. Today's passage comes from the very end of that letter. I know I told you I wouldn't use my Greek a whole lot, but I might have exaggerated that, because I'm going to tell you two things to notice from this ending passage about the Greek. But one of them I've already mentioned to you before. Our language does not have a word for the plural you. Well, Southerners, we do. We call it y'all, right? So, but the translations that we read, we can't tell if the you is singular or if the you is plural. That's why my husband and I have always said that we would like to do a different translation, which was the Southern translation. Remember that y'all are the light of the world. Not just you, but y'all. Well, when James writes here that we are to pray, he's telling y'all. When y'all are suffering, when y'all should pray, it's all plural. The other thing is that this is an imperative. It is a command. It is very important, is the wording that he's told us on this. However, even though it's an imperative, it's not a to-do list. It is this description of this natural outcome, but him reminding us what faith looks like when it puts on clothes and walks around in the world. James wants us to ask ourselves how we show what we believe, how we show the faith that we have. When I thought about this scripture all week, I kept being reminded of this movie that I saw from the mid-90s. You might have seen it too, Jerry Maguire. Well, even if you haven't seen the whole movie, there's a scene that people know, or they may just quote and not even know where it came from. It's this pivotal moment between Jerry Maguire, played by the young Tom Cruise, who mysteriously to me looks exactly the same, and his only remaining client, Rod Tidwell, who's played by one of my favorite actors, Cuba Gooding Jr. Rod is an outstanding, outspoken, a demanding football player. Well, Jerry, unfortunately, has been fired from his high-powered sports agent job, and he desperately is trying to hold on to his clients. Rod is the last one that's possible. So he calls Rod. Rod gets all worked up, and he insists that Jerry demonstrate his commitment by making Jerry loudly declare how much he values Rod's potential. He makes Jerry shout, "Show me the money," over the phone, getting louder and louder and louder until all the people in the office hear it and look. It's a comedic and energetic exchange, but at the end, they're both yelling, "Show me the money," audibly demonstrating for anybody who can hear their commitment and their values. Well, there's an older expression that shows the same thing. We used to say, put your money where your mouth is. Both of these are phrases that express that your actions show what you value. And as Christians, it's really not money. As Christians, what do we value? And how do our actions show and reflect what we value? Jerry Maguire was willing to make a fool of himself for the career that he valued. Are we willing to express enthusiasm and dedication for the God we love? How can we put our money where our mouth is? Well, the reformers, especially Luther, were really not a big fan of James because they were fighting against a culture of works righteousness, this idea that we can earn our salvation. But this idea of James, they thought James was antithetical to that, that James was saying that we had to earn this. But James is not telling us what to tell us what to earn. He's not going against the reformers' idea of justification, being made right with God, through grace, God's loving action, through faith, our belief. No, James wants us to evaluate how our lives reflect our belief. To use that older saying, the put your money where your mouth is, James wants us to reflect upon how do we put our actions where our faith is? How do we put our time where our belief is? How do we put our attention where our claim for lordship is? How do we put our love where our heart is? In other words, James is wanting us to know and possibly stepping on our feet to tell us that what we do shows what we believe. How we live shows our faith. Weekly, we stand here in the sanctuary and we say words together as we speak the creeds of the church. How, James wants to know, does that belief change your life? How does it change our decisions about how we spend our time, or how we spend our money, or how we spend our attention, or how we spend our love? How might the faith be seen by others we encounter? How might we show our faith? In this small letter, and I'm going to challenge you because this afternoon you can read it in less than 30 minutes. It's only 5 chapters. James is challenging us to examine our faith. And here at the end of the letter, James is offering some words of encouragement, perhaps knowing that he stepped on our toes. He says, is any among y'all suffering? Pray. Is any among y'all cheerful? Sing praise. Is any among y'all sick? Let them call the elders and let them pray over them. Confess your sins, y'all, to one another, and y'all pray for one another that y'all might be healed. Y'all, James wants us to know that God is with us in our times of sorrow and suffering, and also in our times of joy. That we don't do this alone. We do this with the power of the one to whom we pray. And we do this with the power of the connection of the community of faith. Susan, that same person I referred to at the very beginning that I worked with for 9 years, she began each worship service reminding us of something. She said, for us to remember that a life connected to God and a life connected to one another is the most meaningful life there is. Prayer is connecting to God, and prayer is connecting to one another. Here in James, he says, are any among you suffering? Pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Well, do you know, Brian Wren actually calls singing praying twice. There's a power of prayer that even comes through singing. Importantly, though, is to remember that the power of praying and the power of praying twice through singing does not come from the prayer or even from the song. It comes from the one to whom we sing, the one to whom we pray. It's not just the power of prayer, it's the power of God. It's not just the power of that song, it is the power of the God to whom we sing. And so I ask us today, what would our lives look like if we were connected to God and connected to one another? How would being connected to the source and to the support of the community of faith change the way that we show our faith? How might that help us put our money where our mouth is? Personally, I am challenged by our culture's move to connection through social media and less personal connection. This was one of the hardest parts for me during the pandemic. I missed the connection with people. I missed being able to see people's faces. I missed people being able to get my jokes because they couldn't see my face. But still today, I struggle with the often inflammatory posts that I see on Facebook or social media, especially in this political season. And so my confession is that my first impulse has been to snooze people, to snooze them for 30 days so I didn't have to see it for 30 days. But I have a little bit been convicted by this reading of James. I've realized that that might not be the most loving response. So I'm working to respond in love, to listen, to understand, to try to understand where another person is coming from, to not just listen, to respond. I'm trying to work to build bridges. In my family, everyone has at least one story that they will never outgrow. I don't know if this is true for you guys, but it doesn't matter how old I get. They'll tell these stories about me from when I was 3, 4, 5. So one of them, I will be good actually not tell my sister's stories today since some of you know them. But for me, one story is often shared that when I was 13, and many of you will remember what it was like to be 13. Some of you are 13 right now. I was trying to find my own identity. And the saying is that they tell over and over again, still today, is that I would argue with a stop sign. I like to be right. I mean, who doesn't, right? I still kind of do like to be right, but the problem is not with being right. The problem is that James reminds us that being loving is more important than being right. James tells us to confess your faults to one another. I just did that. To pray for one another. So now you can pray for me. In other words, James tells us to love one another. And really, isn't James just pointing back to Jesus' words in Matthew when Jesus tells us, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. That this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Love God, love neighbor. On these words depend all the law and the prophets. The law, all the works and the words, the prophets, should be centered on these two things. Love God, love neighbor. Love God, love neighbor. What might faith look like if we show the faith today? Well, I've been thinking about this in the last few days. I think one of those things is prayer for those in Western North Carolina or in Georgia or in Florida, those who have lost a loved one in this recent disaster. But perhaps also especially prayer for those that we know, our friends in Montreat in Western North Carolina, who are suffering from the effects of the hurricane, of the flooding, who now face a long series of time of rebuilding, repairing, reuniting. Unfortunately, many of us remember this process from the hurricane we had here just a few years ago. But also, perhaps, our faith can be shown as we put that faith into action by donating items needed to be taken to the flood relief, or by donating funds to organizations such as the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, organizations that know what is needed and know how to help. Friends, if we live our lives focused on loving God and loving neighbor, our lives will show our faith. It will show our faith through works of care and justice. It'll show our faith through prayer for one another, through lifting one another up in hard times, and rejoicing with one another in times of joy. It is through reaching across barriers, reaching across the things that separate us to connect. It is through reaching out to those experiencing brokenness in their life and helping them work together for wholeness. It is through loving God. It is through loving one another. Friends, let us live our lives knowing that a life connected to God and a life connected to one another is the most meaningful life there is. In the strength of this connection, let us live our lives showing our faith. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now I invite you to stand as we join our voices together in singing hymn number 438, the words are in your bulletin or in the hymnal or on the screen. Blessed be the tie that binds.
And now, in response to God's word, let us continue standing and boldly proclaim what we believe using the Apostles' Creed, which is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated.
Now we come to a time of prayer, a time that we gather the prayers of the community, the prayers of believers, the prayers of the world. Today I want to try something a little different for you. It's called a calling prayer, and I'm going to ask, when I say the words, Lord, in your mercy, if you would reply with, hear our prayer. Let us take our prayers, our cares, and concerns to God. O good and gracious God, we are thankful that you've called us here today, that you've given us this place where we can gather with other believers, where we can join our voices together in proclaiming the faith, in proclaiming all that we believe, in singing songs of care and faith. We thank you for this place. We pray that you would be with us that are gathered here, with all of our cares and concerns that are on our hearts and minds, that we would know that you are with us in our times of joy and in our times of sorrow, and that we would feel your presence always. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O good and gracious God, we pray that you would be with this world that is filled with strife in so many areas, war-torn, world-torn. We pray that you would be with those who are struggling, in the face of war, who are struggling in the face of natural disaster, who are struggling in the face of other things that have torn up their lives. We pray that you would be with them, that they would feel your presence, that they would know your power, that they would know our love, that we would be able to show our love to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide us as we are here, that we would be able to know how we can best show our faith to this world, that you would show us how we can be your hands and feet in this community, in this church, in this world, that you would continue to guide us and that we would know your leading, that we would know your call with assurance that you are with us every step of the way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And I pray that you would continue to guide us, that you would help us individually know that we are loved, that you have called us by name, and in our baptism you have declared that we are beloved children. We pray that you would continue to work through us, that you would be with us if we are experiencing times of difficulty with our health or difficulty with our lives, that we would know your presence, that we would know your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, and we pray that you would give us strength, that we would be able to be with all those we encounter who especially need to know your love, need to know this word, need to know that you have come for all, need to know that you love them. We pray that you would be with them, and we pray lifting the words that your Son taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now we have an opportunity to respond to all that God has given to us by giving back just a small portion of all that God has given to us through our tithes and offerings. If you are listening, you're invited to go to our website to give through the Tithely app, or also just to mail in a check that your gifts might be joined with ours, that we might be able to make a better difference here in this world. And we are also given the gift of music, that we can relax and enjoy this gift from God, to allow us to have the peace in our heart as we listen. Mm-hmm.
gracious God, we pray that you would receive all that we give here, that you would magnify it, that you would receive glory from it, and that you would be able to use it, that it might be able to make a difference in this world. We thank you for the gifts that you have given to us, and those who give back here a portion of all that you've given to us. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. And now I invite you to remain standing as we sing together. We are one in the Spirit. The words are found on the screen or in your bulletin. Beloved children of God, let us go forth to show our faith, that others will know that we are Christians by our love, loving all, loving God, loving neighbor. Let us go forth in the peace of the Holy Spirit, knowing that God loved us first. And now may the peace of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the presence of Christ be with you now and forever. Amen.